The billions of years age that evolutionists assigned to the Earth is based on assumptions, yet they scoff at the biblical teaching of a young Earth and demand physical evidence for this claim. Great news, their demands have been met.
It's something that profoundly affects one's worldview, one's understanding of the past.
This is Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal. I'm Chris O'Brien with the Institute for Creation Research. In the last 3 weeks, on our special series on radioisotopes and the age of the Earth, we've been telling you about the different types of evidence that ICR scientists have discovered that show that the Earth is only thousands of years old and not billions. All of this evidence points to a process called accelerated nuclear decay, in which the rate of decay in rocks was much faster sometime in the past, making the Earth appear to be older than it really is. Today, we'll focus on one more exciting piece of evidence that challenges the uniformitarian belief that slow and gradual geological processes have been consistent throughout history. Join us for the next 15 minutes for part 4 of our 5-part series on radioisotopes and the age of the Earth. Today, we discuss the exciting discovery of carbon-14 in coal and diamonds, and we'll consider if the radioisotope clocks used for dating rocks are indeed accurate. As we continue our special RATE broadcasts, ICR geophysicist and RATE team member Dr. John Baumgartner reminds us of the importance of this 8-year study.
What this RATE research is doing is revealing that there is observational evidence that contradicts this belief, this assumption of uniformitarianism, revealing that it's not true, that it's an error. And it's a very significant error. It's not just having to do with something remote and esoteric that doesn't affect the average Christian. It's something that profoundly affects one's worldview, one's outlook, one's understanding of the past.
Dr. Baumgartner's research in the RATE project centered on the carbon-14 atom. You may recall from your high school chemistry class that carbon-14 is absorbed by living organisms, such as plants, animals, and people. It's formed from nitrogen-14 and reverts back into that atom in a comparatively short period of time.
A radioactive form of carbon is produced in the atmosphere by cosmic rays all the time. But this carbon-14, being radioactive, doesn't stay around that long. And in terms of the standard uniformitarian evolutionary timescale, it's like a flash in the pan. Carbon-14 just vanishes very quickly relative to that time scale.
It takes 5,730 years for half of the carbon-14 in an organism to decay. It would then take another 5,730 years for half of the remaining carbon-14 to decay, and so on. This is referred to as its half-life. Since carbon-14's half-life is very short, if an organism is truly hundreds of thousands, millions, or even billions of years old, no carbon-14 would be found inside the object.
If complex life has been on Earth several hundred millions of years, if you were to find a fossil, some carbon from one of these organisms that lived that long ago, you would not expect to find even a single atom of carbon-14 in them.
With this in mind, Dr. Baumgartner focused on coal and had a variety of samples sent to one of the world's best carbon-14 labs for analysis. And although the discovery of carbon-14 in supposedly ancient coal beds had previously been reported by the secular scientific community, the RATE team wanted their own data.
We had some that were from deep within the record, Pennsylvanian coal, roughly in the conventional timescale on the order of 300 million years old, supposedly. We had some Cretaceous coal on the order of 100 million years old. And then we had some Cenozoic coal on the order of 30 million years old in terms of the standard time scale. So these coal samples spanned almost 300 million years through the time scale.
As expected, the laboratory test did confirm a significant level of measurable carbon-14 in the coal samples. But another exciting part of this research was being able to compare the coal samples from portions of the geological record that range from the assumed ages of 30 million to 300 million years old. coal from the upper, middle, and lower sections of this part of the geological record all contained a similar amount of carbon-14. Now, although only a small amount of coal was sampled, Dr. Baumgartner says this is still good evidence for a young Earth.
They all had the same value, statistically speaking, which would imply that this material all had the same age, the same young age, and it all lived at the same time and was buried at the same time, which is consistent with a recent flood that destroyed essentially all life on the Earth except what was in the ark.
As stated earlier, carbon-14 is in the atmosphere, is absorbed by organic material, and decays quickly. Amazingly, it has also been found in non-biological matter, such as rocks and minerals. So the RATE team wondered if carbon-14 existed in diamonds, which evolutionists date at 1 to 3 billion years old.
We thought the ultimate kind of non-biological material would be diamond. And diamond is creation's hardest substance. The bonds are very strong. And so the likelihood of contamination from external sources is extremely small. So when we submitted our 10 coal samples, we also included a diamond sample. We were very excited when we finally got that first diamond sample, and it showed a significant level of C14. And so that prompted us to get additional diamonds and send them for analysis. And it was extremely encouraging, exciting, when these additional diamond samples had almost identical C14 levels, again, well above the instrument threshold.
These diamond samples that had consistent levels of carbon-14 in them were taken from several different deep mines in Africa. To continue with their carbon-14 research, the RATE team wanted to compare these diamonds to ones from a different type of location.
The last six diamonds we had analyzed were from surface mines, diamonds that were found in stream beds in southwest Africa. And what we found in those diamonds was that the C14 levels were high, but much more variable than what we had seen in the diamonds from the mines.
While finding carbon-14 in any diamond is terrific evidence for a young Earth, there still was the haunting question of why the diamond samples from deep underground had a consistent level of C14, while the diamonds taken from the stream beds had varied levels of carbon-14. While Dr. Baumgartner believes the carbon-14 in both diamond samples may be linked to the creation week, he suggests that the process of accelerated nuclear decay may have had something to do with why the stream bed diamonds had a more varied amount of carbon-14.
The significance of finding carbon-14 in diamond is that if it's primordial, it means the Earth itself must be only a few thousand years old, the physical Earth itself. So finding C14 in diamond is strongly suggestive that the Earth itself is young. If our hypothesis is correct that at least some of this C14 is a result of accelerated nuclear decay, then it means that there have been exceptional processes, unusual processes, that have occurred in the recent past.
So, the evidence of carbon-14 in diamonds shows that it is impossible for the Earth to be billions of years old.
I believe these carbon-14 results are extremely significant, and they call into question the whole evolutionary timescale, the whole uniformitarian outlook that the Earth is billions of years old.
Throughout our special series on radioisotopes and the age of the Earth, we've been telling you how radioisotopes, or radioactive atoms that decay, are used as a clock to measure ages in rock layers. But are these radioisotope clocks accurate? ICR geologist and RATE team member Dr. Steve Austin has been doing research on radioisotopes for nearly two decades.
Over the 18 years, I've asked the question, do radioisotope clocks need repair? In other words, are the clocks that have been conventionally used to date the Earth and the rocks and the formation of rocks on Earth, do they give a consistent picture of age? In other words, are they reputable and reliable dating methods, or do they need some type of repair? And I would say yes, on the basis of what I've done in the Grand Canyon and in some of the Wyoming rocks that I've worked with. The different radioisotope pairs that I observed in the Grand Canyon rocks do not give a consistent picture of the age of the rocks.
To give an example of the inconsistencies in dating, let's consider a certain rock body that Dr. Austin says is ideal for dating.
There is a rock layer in the Grand Canyon called a diabase sill, and it occurs down deep in the bottom of Grand Canyon. It's a black rock that looks like it was once molten, and it's been squeezed in between rock layers. When we're thinking about the diabase sill in Grand Canyon as a rock body that could be accurately dated, we look for some things. First of all, it was one event that squeezed it in, that there is really an age to be measured, and then we have to have rapid cooling. So all the minerals in the rock represent the same age, essentially. We don't want to have a billion-year cooling history. And the third assumption we want to make, or evidence we want when we're looking at a rock to be successfully dated, is that the suite of minerals and all of the rocks within the body have been mixed, totally stirred up. And this mixing process creates a common isotope ratio through the rocks. And that's an assumption that the isochron method makes.
However, in using four different radioisotope clocks to date this diabase sill in Grand Canyon, four different ages were found for the rock layer.
Which of these methods is giving us the true age of these rocks? And that's the big question. Is it A, 0.8 billion years, the potassium-argon isochron age? Is it B, 1.1 billion years, the rubidium-strontium isochron age? Is it C, the 1.3 billion years, the lead-lead isochron age? Or is it D, the 1.4 billion year samarium-neodymium isochron age? Or is there another answer that we might offer? E, none of the above.
Of course, as creationists, we would choose E, none of the above. But why would the same rock unit measure four different dates?
One suggestion that's been proposed is that there's been an acceleration of radioisotope decay. Accelerated radioisotope decay may explain the different abundances of radioisotopes in the rocks at Grand Canyon and help us understand what the true age of these Grand Canyon rocks is. Perhaps these rocks are only thousands of years, not billions of years old, and that we're coming to the dating methods with certain assumptions that are incorrect. And so the radioisotope clocks are broken and we need to fix them.
Tune in next week for the exciting conclusion of Radioisotopes and the Age of the Earth. And be sure to join us in San Diego, California on Saturday, November 5th at Shadow Mountain Community Church for a special rate conference. For more information, log on to www.icr.org.
You know, most people aren't aware that today there are thousands of scientists that are convinced of the truth of biblical creation and not evolution. Our non-denominational ministry aims to restore and strengthen the Genesis foundations of the Christian faith. If you've enjoyed today's edition of Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal, why not visit us on the web to find out more about the work of ICR? The address is www.icr.org. Again, www.icr.org. Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal, is a production of ICR. For the Institute for Creation Research, I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.